recognize tonight, Lord, that we cannot do this, Lord. We have nothing in us, Lord, that can totally surrender, Lord. We don't have it in us, Lord, to surrender completely. We recognize this morning, this evening, God, that we are selfish, Lord, that so many times we hold back, Lord. So many times we struggle, Lord, to give fully to you, Lord. And this evening, we just ask you, Lord, to help us. In this year, Lord, in 2017, Lord, we ask you to help us to give everything to you, Lord. But Lord, we recognize tonight that we cannot do it, Lord. So thank you, Jesus, that you want to take us on a journey this year, Lord. You want to show us how to surrender totally to you, Lord. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you for that place, Lord, that we can just say, Lord, we're so dependent upon you, Lord. We're here to hear your voice, Lord, to lead or to follow as you lead, Lord. So we thank you this evening. We thank you that you're here, Lord, by your Spirit. We recognize your presence, Lord. We thank you that it's such a privilege, Lord, to stand in your presence, Lord. It's only by your blood, Lord. Just want you to thank the Lord there where you are, just for His blood that was shed for you as a person. Just thank the Lord for your own life. And if you're saved, yeah, if you know Jesus personally, then just thank Him for that relationship that He's more committed to than you are. Thank Him for just taking you from glory to glory. So just in your own words, if you feel free to do that, just praise the Lord from your heart this evening. While we're doing that, the ushers will just get the offering bags ready. And then just at the same time, just consecrate your finances to the Lord this evening for the year. Don't feel under any obligation to give this evening, but if you have something to give, if you've got an offering to bring to the Lord, the Bible says that we must give cheerfully. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says that the God loves a cheerful giver. The word says, so let's give cheerfully as the offering bags come by. But let's not only limit our giving to church. Let's give whenever there's an opportunity. Amen. We serve a God who's given everything for us. So if you give into the offering bag this evening, just say, Lord, I'm not giving an amount. I'm not giving because I have to. I'm giving because I love you. We thank you for these finances, Lord. We just praise you, Lord. Multiply, God, every seed that's being sown, Lord, even right now. But not only now, multiply every seed that's going to be sown this year, Father. We thank you that you're good, Lord. We thank you for the privilege of giving into your house this evening. We cannot give back to you, Lord. We cannot try to outgive you, Lord. You've always gone ahead of us, and you will never allow us, Lord, to remain at a place where it's all about us, Lord. Thank you that you deliver us of self, you deliver us of stuff that holds us back this evening. And thank you for these finances now. We praise you now in the name of Jesus. And everybody says, amen. It's wonderful to have you. Just turn to someone next to you and say, it's good to have you in the Lord's presence this evening. It's good to see you. I like the smile on your face. It's looking good. I just want to ask, are there any visitors that we missed? Is there anyone else that's not first year that's visiting us for the first time? We're focusing so much on the first years, but maybe are there any other visitors, new visitors apart from the first years that have already put their hands up? Anyone else that we missed? We don't really want to have you leave here and we didn't connect with you, but please stay for coffee. And first years, we want to bless you with some ice cream, so please don't squash those cones. If you get too tense in the service like that, just keep them for the ice cream. We're excited to have you here this evening. I just want to ask my wife to come and stand next to me here. I just want to introduce us as the couple that are leading this church. My name is Alistair, and here's my beautiful wife Hester. Our surname is Kingwell. I think you can give her a hand. But we are pastors of this church, and we are so excited. We've got three kids, and a blessed babysitter that's looking after them now, so you can pray for her. No, she's a blessing, but we got three kids, Matthew's 6 years old, Caitlin is 4 years old, and Nathan is 2 years old, so you'll see them if you come to the morning service. Maybe we'll bring them as the years go by in the evening service, but for now they need to sleep because school starts tomorrow again. But life is fun in the kingdom. We've been sent here to Bloom to, we've been here for 5.5 years now, and we've seen so many lives change, so many lives following Christ. It's such a privilege to serve in the kingdom of God. And I believe some of you have also been called full-time ministry or even in some form of ministry. So just all I can encourage you is just to hear what the Lord has to say to you in your life. Whatever you've been called for, it doesn't matter. But just follow Christ with everything in you. Amen. That's my testimony, is that God called me, and I was an engineer, and I thought I was going to be, and my wife thought she's marrying an engineer, 8-to-5 job, weekends off, and it was like exact opposite. I did engineering for 9 years, and then the Lord called me into the ministry, and then it's like, you know, 24/7. You're like a farmer. You're at work all the time, and you have to choose to switch off because the kingdom has to come, and sometimes you don't sleep because you want the kingdom to come, and you're praying and you're trusting, but it's such an adventure. It's such a life that's different to this world. So this evening I've entitled my sermon, "You Are Invited." So tell someone next to you, "You are invited." Now you might be thinking, what am I invited to? What's this guy talking about? Just bear with me. When we're born into this world and when we grow up, and I'm sure you as a student or as a first year, if you look back on your school career, you will realize that life presents a lot of stuff to you. Isn't that so? When you're small, and our kids are at that stage where they're invited to parties, and you know, they're invited to become friends with new people, and so there's all sorts of invitations happening every year and every month, every day of your life as you grow up. You're invited to something. Isn't that so? And when you grow up, and especially when you get to grade 8 or grade 1, if you're starting a new school or if you're first year, then sometimes there's no invitation. It's always like you have to do this, you know. Initiation happens, and so you have to do this. You've got to conform. There's no choice involved. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. And it's sort of an invitation, but it's like not really an invitation. You have to. But life is full of choices. Life is full of constant invitation to explore even a world filled with possibilities, and yet you don't always know what the outcome is going to be. Sometimes you're invited to go to some weird places, and you never know what's going to happen. Maybe you're going to lose your life. Maybe you're going to be confronted with stuff that you didn't want to see. Or the internet invites us every day. There's a little button that you can press, and there's a whole world out there that you can invite or respond to this invitation to get into, and you never know where it's going to lead you. It could destroy your life. Just think about it this week. Think about what happened this week. What were you invited to, and what response did you give to some good invitations, and what response did you give to some things that you were invited to and you're just so upset with yourself that you responded to that invitation? Think about it. You see, having options in life is not always great. Having endless options is not always great, wouldn't you say? It's not the answer to an abundant life, I don't think. Because what is the best option? What is the best response that you can give when there's an invitation coming across your path? So this evening I want to talk about an invitation that's, I believe, the most important invitation we can respond to. In Numbers chapter 21, there's a story about the Israelites complaining against God and against Moses, and God sends fiery serpents to go and destroy the people because they're complaining and everything. And so the fiery serpents start to bite the people, and many people died, so much so, it was so terrible that the people started to repent and started to actually say to Moses, "Moses, please, can you just do something, because this is terrible. We can't take this anymore." And so Moses prays to the Lord, and Moses asks God, "God, what must we do? These people are dying." And so the Lord says, "You know what? I want you to put up a bronze serpent on a pole. It must look exactly like the fiery serpents that are busy killing the people, but put it up on a pole so that whoever looks at the serpent will be healed from the sickness." And that's exactly what happened. Moses did that, and it said that whoever looked at the bronze serpent was healed from the disease and the sickness caused by the fiery serpent. And Jesus in John chapter 3 is referring to this amazing story, and he's speaking to Nicodemus about eternal life and about how you need to be born again. And he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have ever eternal life. The greatest invitation for us this side of the cross is so amazing. It's not to look at a bronze serpent on a pole, but it's to look at the Son of Man, Son of God himself, to look at him by faith and to know that he's inviting us into this incredible life where we can be healed of the sickness that all of us are struggling with. See, I once heard someone saying that there's a sickness called sin, and there's only one pill that can solve this sickness problem. It's called the gospel. And so Jesus is saying that each of us needs to be healed from the sickness that we have called sin, and all of us need to have a change. But instead of trying to look at a bronze serpent, instead of looking at Moses, the giver of the law, instead of looking at anything else, we can believe in the Son of Man who was lifted up and died so that we can have life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I read this passage and I just see an incredible invitation. I see this great invitation that we all can receive. In fact, we have all received it. The whole world has received this invitation, and some people don't even know it. They're running after all sorts of other invitations, but they don't know that there's only one that has got applicable to life after death. Every other invitation that we respond to, everything else that we get in this life is applicable to this life. It says have a better life, and even marriage, you know, the invitation to marriage, which I happen to give. Okay, my wife didn't give me the invitation, but guys, it's good that you do the inviting. Okay, that's how it's done. You ask your wife or your fiance to marry you, or your girlfriend to be your fiance. But that invitation is amazing. I believe it's the best invitation that affects this life. It's incredible to be in covenant with someone. But you know what? That covenant ends. Sorry for those who, there's not many married. I think there's one married couple. Where is David and Tabitha? Anyone else married? Gerard and Shanta? You guys? Inga? Like I'm willing to see. But unfortunately, for those who are looking forward to marriage, it's great, but it doesn't last forever. You know, there's a little thing that says, till death do us part, so. The other girls are like, oh, you know, I was looking for this eternity, you know, with my husband. Marriage is awesome. It's the best invitation that you can receive this side of eternity, but it's not going to last forever. But there is an invitation that is going to last forever. Isn't that amazing? But every other invitation has only got applicable, it's only applicable to this life, and it doesn't always bless our lives. But there's one invitation, and it's the greatest invitation that we can ever receive. This week I was confronted with death again, and I just realized, you know, death is terrible. Death is just so terrible. It's difficult to handle death. All of us are not made to handle death. We're so mortal, and we're so fallen that we don't understand how to handle death, but there's one who understands it. And he's inviting us on this journey of how to handle life and even how to handle death itself. So I want to look at this invitation a little bit tonight. I want to look at this great invitation that we've been given, because there are a couple of aspects to this invitation. I want to start with the first one. Matthew chapter 4 goes like this. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. I love the Bible, just makes it clear. In case we wondered what they were, people who cast nets into the sea are actually fishermen, but the Bible says they were fishermen, just to make sure. And then he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and they followed him. This great invitation has got so many aspects to it. And the first aspect to this invitation is not necessarily to come and die, but it's to come and follow, to come and see. It's not an invitation that is a once off. It's an invitation. It's a constant and a continuous invitation because it starts with a request or an invitation to follow, to go on a journey. And Jesus, yeah, he's asking his disciples to go on a journey with him, not just to make a commitment and say, Jesus, you know, I realize I need to get to heaven. So Jesus, just give me a ticket to heaven and then I'm going to carry on with my life. He doesn't say that. He says, I want you to follow me. I want you to come on a journey and discover how much there is to really know about life. And so these fishermen didn't continue as if nothing had changed. They didn't just continue with their lives. They actually left everything and they started to follow Jesus. They made a decision to change, leave fishing, leave all the stuff that they're familiar with in order to follow this incredible guy, this guy who seemed so perfect, seemed so amazing, yet he was still flesh. He was like one of us. And so it starts by saying, come and see, come with me on this journey and I'm going to teach you about life. And I want you to think about your journey. Maybe your journey hasn't started yet, then you're at the right place tonight. But if your journey has started, think back to when you responded like these disciples. Maybe you were called in a group. Maybe you responded to an altar call somewhere and there was a massive group of people and you went forward. Or maybe you were out just fishing like these guys, doing something and Jesus met you somewhere in your sleep or in your dreams or... I don't know how you encountered Jesus, but remember, what did he ask you? I believe he's asking us all the same question. And some people don't portray the gospel properly because we so easy say, all you need to do is just make a commitment and then carry on with your life. And that's the worst advice we can give any person. Jesus is saying, come and see. Come and join me on this journey. I want to teach you. Maybe today you need to start following Jesus with everything. There's an invitation to follow. And Matthew continues to write in chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus says, yeah, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The context here is that he's just sent out his disciples in chapter 10 to 2x2 to go and evangelize and to witness. And then, you know, some people reject them. And so he said, you know, it'll be more better for these cities to just be cast into hell than to reject you, because they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. If you read through the whole of Matthew 10 and 11, then it ends off with this. And Jesus is talking out to his laborers. He's telling people the kingdom is about laboring. And when you follow me and I send you out and you start to grow and do stuff, you know, it gets hard. The kingdom doesn't come by ease, the Bible says. In fact, it comes by force. The kingdom comes and advances and the darkness will try to advance against it. And it's a bit of a battle. Anyone walked with Jesus for longer than 2-3 years? Anyone? Yeah, a lot of us. You know, you go through that honeymoon stage with Jesus at the start where everything seems easy and all that, and then you suddenly start to hit the challenges of life, of laying down your life. But you see, not only is there an invitation to follow, there's an invitation to grow. And Jesus says, come and rest with me. Come, you are laboring. You are passionate about the kingdom. You're on fire. I know sometimes things don't go your way. So you know what? Come and rest with me. Just come to rest. And it's a place of growth. It's a place where we're out of our comfort zones. The best place to grow is out of your comfort zone. I want to tell you guys this year, it's not going to be a comfortable year on campus again. It wasn't a comfortable year last year, and I can tell you it's going to be a blessed year, I believe, but it's not going to be an easy year. So guess where we're going to need to find our rest is in that place where it's a bit uncomfortable, in that place where we're tired, we're frustrated, we're depressed. It's a place of discomfort, uncertainty. You're so confused, and you know what? That's the best place to be. Amen. Because then you realize you need to come to rest and find Christ and find the change that's going to happen in your life. Because if we don't grow, if we're in a comfort zone. If life is happening and it's all going well, you know what? We want to maintain that. That's just human nature. We want to maintain and we want to maximize everything. But in that place of challenge, that's where we grow. And Jesus said, it's in that place of challenge that you must come to me. And he actually says, come to me anytime. But where you really need to grow is at a good place. Don't see it as a bad place. So I don't know where you're finding yourself in the kingdom of God as a child of God. Or maybe you're not even a child of God. And I can tell you, if you're not a child of God, life is not going to make sense always. Because we need to go to the one who wants to give us sense out of life. Just to tell you a story, some of you were here last week, and I shared this holiday for us was people ask me, how was your holiday? I'm like, tough. You know, you want to give the good answer. It was amazing. I rested out. I had 4 weeks and it was awesome. And you want to give the standard answer. And then you just realize, you know what? I've got to be honest now. This holiday for me wasn't great. First, my little daughter cut her head open. Yeah, she needed like stitches by a plastic surgeon because it was so deep. And so we were in hospital about the middle of December when our holiday started. And then 2 weeks later, my boy broke his leg. The little guy, 2 years old, broke his femur by some freak accident. I won't explain now. I was kind of the culprit. And then he got an infection after he broke the leg. They mended the leg and he got an infection. So we were in hospital 3 times this holiday. And, you know, when your holiday is like that, you realize you don't rest that much because there's a battle on. And you pray and you're confronted with your own weakness and all of that stuff. And it's... But in that time, I can just say, you know, I don't want the holiday. I didn't want it any different. If I look back, I say, Lord, thank you. I embrace every part of it. I don't want anything different. I thank you for the challenges. I thank you for the growth that happened in my life. I thank you. Thank you for the tough times. I thank you for just squeezing all the stuff out of me and continue to do it, Lord, please. There's so much of me involved. But you come into that place of discomfort and uncertainty, and then you realize, you need to just surrender to God's purposes. Isn't that so? And so I'm just sowing a seed here this year because I know some of us are going to be challenged by this only in 6 months' time or maybe the end of the year, but that's fine. I'm just leaving it with you now because I want to say to you, come to Jesus when you're laboring and you're heavy laden and you don't know what is happening in your life. Your life seems depressed, or I want to say, just come to Jesus. There's an invitation to come. But it's not just to come and rest, it's to come and grow. You're going to rest, but you're going to grow. Then we surrender to His purposes. We surrender to His agenda. We surrender to His perspective on life. And we see life a little bit differently. And then He starts to show us and we make sense out of life, which in the natural, and if people are out there and they don't believe, they'll think, but you're just crazy. How do you make sense of this? And then it's difficult to explain to them because you're on another level. You're on the spiritual level. You're not operating what we see. You're operating with what you see in the spirit by faith. But there's an invitation to come and rest because it's a journey, and this journey is tough. This journey isn't easy. But there's a constant invitation. And then the journey continues, and Matthew goes on, and Peter is now at a place where Jesus says, you know what, you've just seen that I'm the Son of God, because in chapter 16, Peter says, I know who you are, you're the Son of God, and Jesus blesses him, and he affirms him, and he says, that's so amazing, this is not you that's done this, the Father has revealed this to you, and so Peter's polishing his naughty badger, but he's feeling quite good about himself, and he's thinking, you know, we are operating, we're the disciples, we're special now, we're following Jesus, we're laying down our lives, and then Jesus starts to tell them, you know what? I'm going to have to die. I'm not going to see you for too much longer. And Peter's like, you're not going to die. You've come to take the kingdom. And all Jesus can tell him is, that's from the devil. The previous revelation you had was from God. That's from the devil. Get behind me. He rebukes Peter, just the same Peter that's just done amazing stuff, the same Peter that's been sent out with all the other disciples. They've seen things happen. They've seen the kingdom come. And Peter thinks he knows better. And the pride starts to kick in, and the presumption is, you're not going to die, Jesus. And Jesus says, don't think you're quite on my page now, Peter. You were on my page, but it seems like you're walking now by your own revelation. And the same happens to us as believers. I'm talking to people now who have followed Jesus a while, and you've seen amazing things happen in your life. You've seen miracles. You've seen stuff. And then you start to walk by a little bit of presumption, and pride kicks in, and pride is just there. It's in the heart of man. Pride comes and tells, you know what? You're actually so great. You're so amazing. And then Jesus says in verse 24, and he says, I think I need to speak to all of you now. This is a perfect teaching moment. If anyone really desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So we often give the scripture at the beginning of the journey, but this is not how Jesus calls us. Jesus doesn't say, come and die now, because he knows, you know, when someone responds to Jesus, they're not going to die of everything. Jesus knows that. He doesn't expect that. He doesn't expect someone to die when they give their life to him. He just expects a commitment to follow him. But then he starts to tell his disciples, listen, yeah, you are my representatives now. You're going to be leaders soon, and I want you to understand what's happening here. And it looks like there's still some growth needed to be happening in your life. So I think it's time to die to certain stuff that's coming up in your life now. And it's only being revealed now. Isn't it amazing how Jesus works? He takes us on a journey, and I think we need to do expectation management in the kingdom, because we think people are going to die and be so super believers from the start, and they're not. They're people. They're like sheep. They go astray. All of us, we've gone astray. And I just realized in my own life, we sometimes get so full of ourselves, and we focus again on ourselves, even though we're serving God. You know, we're serving God, and we're so great, and then we start to promote ourselves a little bit and think we know something. And then God says, listen, if you really want to follow me, you need to die. Die to your own desires. Die to your pride. Die to your presumption. So I believe the Lord is calling us to do that as well. He's calling us not only to follow him and to grow, but in that place of growth, there's a place of dying that needs to happen, where something in our lives have to die. I love how the Lord operates. The Lord is so gracious and so faithful. He will just allow us to die. You know, he doesn't, you know, he loves us. He cares for us and he has compassion, but sometimes he just allows us to die. It's like a picture of this ant, like just kicking, and then you just squash the thing eventually and then it dies. And I'm not talking about God killing us now, but just the pride in us just allows us to hit our heads and make mistakes, and until eventually we just surrender. Isn't that so? I don't know who of you have been through that in your life before. If you're walking with Christ, I'm sure you've had a few encounters. And it's not going to stop. He invites us continually to die as we grow. So embrace the process. Embrace discipleship. Embrace becoming more like Christ. There's an invitation to come and die. So I know it's a bit of like, oof, Alistair, die. You know, when you talk about death and dying, it's like, oh, welcome to the world of discipleship. Welcome to following Christ. But pride, I believe, is the biggest killer. And I believe the Lord in this year, he wants us to be so humble before him. Not false humility, where people see we're humble. It's a humility before God. And God knows each of our hearts. He knows where there's still pride. And we cannot see it in each other. We cannot judge each other either. So let's not judge each other, but let's allow God to do it in our lives. Let's surrender more and more. Amen. Some of you are going to get excited by the end, okay? I know it's like, this is exciting. I've just been through it, and I'm still going through it. I want Richard to show a video clip, so if we can just watch the short clip.
Thank you, Johnny. Good morning, everybody. Come on, you can do that better. Good morning, everybody. Yes, that was a quick lesson on good morning. Well, I want to thank Jesus for giving me this gift of life, and every time I come here, I'm just so thrilled to see so many young people on your way to missions. If you have not decided, today is your deadline for that, actually. And you know, it's so wonderful to live. I just celebrated my 38th birthday, and at the age of 16, the doctors had given me 6 months to live. I was born with asthma, and from the age of 2 to the age of 16, I was on wrong medication, on high dosage of cortisone steroids. And as a result of that, 60% of my lungs got damaged and my immune system broke down, and I developed rheumatoid arthritis. At the age of 12, by accident, I was hit by a javelin, and my spinal cord was damaged. And everything went wrong in my life. Well, that's what the human said. And my father, being an aerospace scientist, he expected me to become like him, and I became the scum of the family. I was thrown out of school in my 10th grade, saying that you are not worth studying, you are useless, you are good for nothing. These were the words that were spoken over my life for 16 years, where medically they told me you will not live any longer. In education, as well as society and family, they looked at me and they said, Benny, you are a shame and a curse to the family. And having no hope, no talent, no life, nothing left in me, I contemplated to commit suicide at the age of 16. Even if you're really sitting down and wondering, Benny, can God use these missions? I want to tell you that there are so many Bennies like me out there who needs the gospel. And you are one among them who can really go and share the gospel. And at the lowest point of my life, when I wanted to kill myself, I heard the voice of Jesus Christ saying, Betty, even though you are called useless, I still need you. I said, Jesus, why do you need me when the whole world says I'm useless? He said, you could transform my life and make me a new person. And I said, okay, I have nothing to offer. All that I have is my broken life and 6 months to live. He says, that's enough for me to start a new work in you. And that's what he has done. I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And I've already surpassed the expiry date that the doctors had put on my life, actually. And I'm just so thrilled to live this. And in 2004, I asked Jesus, what is your call for my life? The Bible says, God's ways are higher than man's ways and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And I want to tell you, a Christian life is the most exciting life to live. And a life that is surrendered in Christ is just so adventurous. My life is more than James Bond movie. Because it's a reality. James Bond is only a movie. Mine is a reality. And in 2002, with $25 a month, being a YY missionary, I asked Jesus, what do you want to do with my life? Because my dream was to go to one country. He said, Benny, I want you to travel to every country by 2010. I said, Jesus, this is impossible. Till today, there has never been one example in the history of mankind, whether it is Michael Jackson or Mariah Carey or whoever it is. They have never been to every country in the world. How can I, being a broken person, being able to achieve this? He says, Benny, what is impossible for you is possible for me. And what it takes, my dear friends, today is to surrender your brokenness and your life into the hands of Jesus. And he will shape it after his will. And so I said, Jesus, as long as you are my provider, I will be your traveler. We had a good deal. I said, I will live a life of faith and you provide for me. So today, this is my one passport. And this passport is my travel record to every country in the world. And on 22nd of November 2010, I arrived in my last country, Pakistan, and I broke 6 world records. And one among them was I became the fastest man in the history to travel to every country in the shortest time, 245 nations, including Antarctica, in 6 years, 6 months, and 22 days. If Jesus can use my life to make history for his glory, I'm sorry, I don't have time to wait for your clapping. I'm not trying to be good. But if Jesus could do that in my life, today he has a plan for your life. And he took me to amazing nations. One among them was North Korea. Last year I was invited by the government of North Korea to come and perform for the 100th birth anniversary of their founder Kim Il-sung. 834 performers were chosen from all over the world, and I was the only Indian chosen from my country. And it was a great opportunity to play, but more so an opportunity to share the gospel. Yes, if you share the gospel, you don't need to be a prophet to understand that you will be killed. But I understood in the word of God that if anyone tries to save their life, will lose it. If anyone loses their life for the sake of Christ, will find it. So I informed my parents, there's a big possibility that I might be killed in North Korea. So if you don't hear from me on the 17th of April, that's a mutual understanding that either I'm killed or in prison, and I will see you in heaven. Because for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So I went to North Korea so excited to live and to die for Jesus. 2 spies followed me every single day of my life, every single minute in fact. When you have 2 ungodly spies following you all the time, what do? You share the gospel. Because they're always with you. They will never leave you. They might forsake you, but they will never leave you. And since they're always with you, what a great opportunity to talk about Jesus. You don't need to go to North Korea to talk about Jesus. Jesus is putting a nation in your heart. Be obedient to him. Say yes to him. And I got into trouble. Sure, next day my interpreter went and informed to the official that Benny is doing this because I used her to translate my testimony to the spies. Now I'm in big trouble. Sure, I'll be killed. But the right perspective is what a great opportunity to stand in front of the official. And I shared my testimony, knowing that I might be killed. But the official asked me a question. How could you be so sure you heard the voice of Jesus at 16? It could have been your own imagination. I told him, sir, my own imagination told me to kill myself. It is the voice of Jesus that gave me life and life in abundance. And he heard my testimony. And I want to tell you, my friends, be courageous, even to the point of death, to share the love of Jesus Christ. Don't ever fear your life because Jesus is in charge. I was not killed in North Korea because it was not my time to die. He knows my time, actually. And in the end, 12 musicians were chosen out of 834 performers, and I was one among the 12 to be awarded by the government of North Korea. I played as Shout to the Lord, the song which I'm going to play, My Jesus, My Savior, Lord, there is none like you. In a nation like that, on their national TV, if God could use a Christian, an Indian, to perform on this guitar, a guitar which God helped me to design in 2004 for the Olympic Games in Greece, if God could pick a broken, worthless child like me, written off by society, to design the world's first guitar with drums inside, there is nothing impossible for Jesus to do in your life. If He could pick up, give me a passport like this, 14 books, to go and share the good news to the nations, there is nothing impossible. I am just so excited. And I'm going to play the song, My Jesus, My Savior, Lord, there is none like you. And again, with arthritis, when I play this instrument, even the medical doctors say, this has to be God and God alone. And just to conclude with, when I broke the world record, I had a hat which said, thank you, Jesus. And CNN was the first news channel to interview me, and they said, sir, that is a religious statement. Please take off your hat, because we are a secular channel. And I'll tell you, you want to share the gospel, share it creatively. Nobody can stop you. And so I asked Jesus for an idea, because the whole world is going to interview me for achieving this feat. And I want to make sure that Jesus is known. I am not ashamed of the gospel. He gave me life when doctors gave me 6 months to live. He gave me protection. He gave me this beautiful future. How can I keep Jesus secret? No, it is sin for me to keep Jesus just to myself. So He gave me this beautiful idea of designing this new hat. And my hat says, thank you, Jesus, I'm an Indian. This is not a religious statement. It is a patriotic statement. And hence, nobody can stop me. You know, nobody can stop me from wearing these things. And if even news channels, they would come up to me and say, what is this on your head? I said, well, I'm proud to be an Indian. The cameraman says, do a close-up on his hat also. At the United Nations, they told me, you cannot share about Jesus. I said, fine. But I wore my hat, which talked about Jesus all the time. My friends, if you really want to talk about Jesus, nobody can stop you. So don't use excuses. Go forward. He died on the cross to rescue you from sin and give you eternal life. I cannot keep Jesus secret to myself. So my Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you.
If you want to listen to the song, you can go and YouTube it. Jesus invites us on this amazing journey. He invites us to follow Him. He invites us to grow. He invites us to die. And then He invites us to invite other people as well. Matthew chapter 28 from verse 5. This is the morning of the resurrection, and the two Marys have come to the tomb. And they encounter this massive angel and earthquake and everything, and the stone is rolled away. And the people are awestruck, and the angel answered and said to the woman, it's amazing how it says the angel answered, because the woman never asked anything. The angel said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for He is risen, as He said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And then in verse 7, and go quickly and tell His disciples that He is risen from the dead. See, when I read this, I just realized that this is all that we've got to tell people. This is all we're inviting people to, is the life that Jesus has paid for. Why? Because He rose from the dead. The reason Benny Prasad and the reason all of us can evangelize and tell people about Jesus is because He rose from the dead. Isn't that amazing? You see, sometimes we want to seek Jesus in the old familiar place. Sometimes we're seeking Jesus and we're so seeking Him. And sometimes the Spirit is just going to say, you know what? He's not here. Just go and tell people that He's risen from the dead. And that's what I want to leave you with this evening, is that He invites us not only to grow and to follow Him and to die and stuff, but He invites us ultimately to invite others into this great life. Isn't that amazing? Each one of us have got a testimony. Each one of us can tell people about what Jesus has done in our lives. We don't have to be the greatest evangelist, but we can just tell people that Jesus Christ is risen. That's the truth. Whether people like it or not, whether they agree with it or not, it doesn't matter. Just tell people. Just invite others. I remember when I was working for the company I worked for before I came into ministry, the Lord said to me, you know, put at the bottom of your email address, like where your signature is, but I don't know if we were allowed to or not. I don't think there was a problem with it, but I felt I'm not going to be ashamed. And so I put Romans 10 verse 9 on the bottom of my signature there. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so I emailed people in Germany, and I was emailing people overseas with stuff that we had to do. And it was just so amazing that how God just gave me this idea just to share the gospel, even there, not to be ashamed. And like Benny said, we can have lots of creative ideas of how to share the gospel, but just share the gospel. Tell people that Jesus has risen from the dead. It's the best news that anyone needs to know. It's the best news that the world can know. And so to get practical this evening, we, as leadership, we felt this year that we want to try something for 6 months. We're trusting the Lord. We're putting our faith out for it, but especially for the students, but it's for the whole church. We want to start what's called Connect Groups. So if you can put up that slide about the Connect Groups, please, Richard. So this is a practical thing for you to do this year if the Lord lays it on your heart. And I'm going to be talking about this every week now until it starts. It's starting on the 22nd of February. It's just 6 weeks. All we're asking you for 6 weeks, and it can be anyone. It can be if you're a first year here this evening. We're the first years. Just show me your hands. A couple of you here at the front, just there. Even if you're a first year, you can do this. You don't have to be, basically, you just need to know Jesus. You don't have to even walk with Jesus for long. But all we're asking you is to open your, to have a heart for people, first of all, which you get from Jesus. Open your home, serve a coffee or a snack, tell a friend, host. To host a Connect group. We're going to give you the DVDs. We're going to give you material to discuss. We're going to make it so easy for you to facilitate a group. So all you need to do is invite 3 or 4 or 5 friends, however many. You can invite 20 if you want to. Just to for an hour and a half, for 6 weeks, just to commit to invite people to Jesus. And we're going to talk about just basic stuff. No heavy, deep, just to get people excited on this journey of following Jesus. Just simple. So if you've got the faith for that, and we don't want you to be a leader, if you want to become a leader, we'll talk about that after the 6 weeks, but we're not going to call you leaders. It's just lowering the bar a little bit, that anyone can do it. If you just can get a few friends together and go through this, let's see how many people we can invite to Jesus. And if they come to church, bonus. If they don't come to church, it's fine. But let's create a hunger and a thirst for Jesus in people's lives. I want the ushers to hand out the You're Invited cards. We've got little invited cards that if you guys could just hand them out, ASAP. Someone can help. It's another practical thing that because we're going to get practical this year. We're not just going to hear nice sermons, but we're going to do what God is saying to us. Amen. So I want each one of you to take a card. I want you to just take one card. It's basically inviting people to church. You can take 2 weeks or a month, or even if you invite one person this year, then that's great. Put your faith out. Don't just put it there and forget about it. But let's pray for people, and let's send them an invitation to come to church. Just those little cards, those little... Okay, they're going to get them ready. Let me carry on. Jesus is inviting us to follow him. He's inviting us to grow. He's inviting us to die. And he's inviting us to invite others. But the good news this morning, or this evening, sorry, I want to tell you all the good news and the bad. In fact, the bad news is that we cannot do this, guys. We cannot really follow Jesus. We cannot really grow. We cannot really die. And what are the chances we can invite other people? in our own strength. We cannot do it in our own strength. But if you look at the next picture, if you can just put that picture up, I want to say this evening that the only reason we can follow is because He followed. His arms are stretched wide on the cross to say everyone's invited. Even you are invited. The only way we can follow is because He followed. He only did what He saw the Father do. He followed. We can only grow because He grew. He learned obedience, the Bible says, through the things that He suffered. So we cannot grow, we cannot follow in our own strength, but we can do it because He did it. The only way we can die is because He died. Because in our own selves, we want to survive. Like Benny said, you know, we want to save ourselves. We want to save our lives. We want to keep our lives. But I want to say Jesus Christ did not keep His life. Don't focus on the cards now. It's just got the church's information on it. So it's really nothing special. But it's just a tool for you to use. And then lastly, the only reason we can invite others, and I want you to remember this, is because He invited you. I'm going to say it again. The only way we can follow is because He followed. He's made a way. This is the gospel, guys. Because the Lord's showing me a lot of stuff. You know, we do a lot of good works. We do stuff out of our own strength and we do great things and then we get tired. But I want to tell you the gospel tonight says that we cannot follow except because He followed. We can ask Him to help us follow and we cannot grow in our own strength. Only He can help us to grow because He grew. We can only die because He died. And the only way we can really invite other people into the kingdom is because He invited us. Jesus' invitation starts with a come and see and it ends with a come and die. And I want to say this evening, you are invited. Tell someone next to you, you are invited. The band can come forward so long. Revelation 22, my last scriptures. Behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And then verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I'm the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. And then one of my favorite scriptures. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. David and Tabitha will recognize this if they remember on their wedding day. But they were out there somewhere. Let him who hears say, come, and let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. When I read this again, it talks about an invitation. It says, Spirit is doing it. And that's what's great for us as a church. It's not the church that's inviting first. It says the Spirit and the bride. The Spirit is inviting people all the time. The Holy Spirit is moving on campus right now as we speak, as these first years are coming into res and as all of us are coming back to campus, the Spirit is moving. The Spirit is moving over Bloemfontein right now. The Spirit is moving over the nations of the world. But it says the Spirit and the bride say, come. The bride is invited to also come, but also, it says here, let him who hears come. Sorry, let him who hears say come. A lot of us have heard, a lot of us have responded, a lot of us are following Jesus. But He's saying to us, let's invite everyone. Why? Because He's coming soon. Jesus is coming soon, and we don't know how long that soon is. In the last picture there, because I believe this is the picture that He's doing right now. This is Jesus, and it's not really a portrayal of Jesus in heaven, I guess, but it's the best I can do. But this is the risen Christ saying, my arms are open. Everyone is invited. Whosoever thirsts, whosoever wants to come. And I brought this candle. I put this candle up here tonight because this is what I believe we need to see God as. God is a consuming fire. He's a fire. I think you've heard of all the fires in the Western Cape and terrible fires that are consuming and destroying. But you know, this side of Jesus' second coming, he isn't a consuming fire, but he's like this candle. So he is hot, and if you get too close, you'll be consumed. But if you look at this candle, it's a gentle invitation. It's like moths are drawn to it, bugs are drawn to it, people's eyes are drawn to it. You like look at this thing and you're just like mesmerized. Because this is an incredible love. There's this passion that he has for each of us. And he's just saying, come. Wherever you are on your journey with me, just come. Because you are invited. And you will always be invited. You will always be welcome. He's saying it to the whole world right now. So I want us to close our eyes this evening. Because I know Jesus wants to do some great things in our hearts this year. I just know this holiday that I've had, I'm just saying, Jesus, just continue to do it until we become like you. And we don't want to suffer, but sometimes we've got to go through tough times, and this year God wants to refine us even more. But even while he's doing that, let's not wait till we're perfect to invite others into this place. Let's invite others along, because we'll never be perfect. I believe he's birthing such a humility in his people. So Lord, I want to thank you for your wide open arms, Lord. I want to thank you that you're saying to each one of us that's in this hall this evening that you are invited into my presence. You are invited to come and die. You're invited to come and grow, or come and follow me. You're invited to just come and invite others. I long for you. To ask the Lord this evening, whatever he wants to do in your life, ask him just to do it now. Because maybe you've been serving him for a long time, but you just know you've lost that passion. You've lost that desire to just be with Jesus and to tell people about Jesus, to tell even yourself about Jesus. Sometimes we have to tell ourselves, soul, be still. Jesus is in control. Jesus reigns. Jesus is awesome. This evening you need to take that first step and just follow Jesus and forget your fishing nets and forget everything. Forget all your worries and your cares. Forget even your studies that you have to go through this year. And just come and follow Jesus, and he's going to make your studies blessed. He's going to cause you to follow him in your studies. Not just to follow him on a Sunday or on a Wednesday, whenever we get together, but to follow him while you're doing life. Not to make it two separate things, your church life or your Jesus life and then your other life. He wants to make it one. But whoever, maybe you just need to take that first step. Maybe you need to grow and you need to come and rest, because already the year started and you feel so tired. It's like you've just come from holiday, but you feel tired, and Jesus says, come and rest with me. I know you're a laborer. I love you. I love your passion, but just come and rest, because I want to show you stuff. Maybe this evening you're so shy to tell people. You just want Jesus to give you that passion to witness about him, to just tell someone that Jesus loves them. If that's all you tell them that. But maybe you're shy this year. Maybe you've never witnessed about Jesus, and he's just saying, come on this adventure, because it's an adventure. It's nothing like telling someone about Jesus. There's nothing like seeing someone respond to eternal life. There's nothing that compares. And he wants to give us all that experience, not only people who are ministers or pastors or leaders. He wants to give all of us the opportunity to lead someone to Christ, because he loves people. So if this evening the Lord is speaking to you, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray for you right there where you are. If you feel the Spirit stirring in you, a response to this incredible invitation, then just raise your hand right there where you are. Whatever He's doing in your life, just raise your hand. Whoever you are, just raise it nice and high. See the hands going up. Just be honest with the Lord. If the Lord has spoken to you this evening, just surrender. Maybe you need to surrender your life to Christ. But whatever you need to surrender, surrender this evening. The Spirit is speaking. I want you to stand with me, all if we can all stand. If you're a facilitator this evening, I want you to come forward, because I know some people need prayer this evening. So if you've responded to Jesus and you just want someone to agree with you, whether it's for the first time or just to give your life completely to Christ, then just come. Some of the leaders will be in the front here to pray with you. But I believe the Lord's asking you to step out for Him this year. So all of those, if you raised your hand, or maybe you didn't raise your hand and you just want to respond this evening and come and have someone just pray with you and cement what the Lord has done in your life, then just come this evening. There's lots of space here, to my left or to my right, wherever. If you feel the Lord stirring in your heart, just come. He's not forcing anyone, but He's inviting everyone. He says, you are invited. If you're too shy, take the person's hand next to you and just come. These are holy moments. These are consecrated moments. Anyone else, just come. I want to pray. I believe tonight the Lord showed me someone here. You've heard the Lord's voice audibly in your life before, and it feels like your ears are blocked. And the Lord says tonight your ears are going to be unblocked and you're going to hear His voice again. So if that's you, I don't know, but I'd love to pray with you. But you heard the Lord's voice very clearly. I don't know if it was audibly, but it felt to me really a clear voice. And your ears have been blocked a little bit, and the Lord's unblocking your ears. And this year, you're going to hear like never before, and you're going to be a voice for the Lord. So if someone can identify with that, just raise your hand. If you're too shy, come to me afterwards. But I'd love to pray with you. And then I believe someone's struggling with head pains here at the back of your, I don't know if it's a migraine or like a headache here at the back of your neck. Lord wants to heal you of that. If it's somewhere in your head, He really wants to heal you. So is there anyone that's struggling with pain in your head, or in the back of your neck, or your sort of upper back or something like that? Then I'd love to pray with you. Is there anyone like that? Okay, cool. Let's come. We're going to pray. We want to know who you are so we can pray. And then I feel someone... it's really lonely here tonight. And the Lord says, this year you're going to have friends. You're going to be surrounded by people. Because you know a lot of people, but you're not close. You haven't got close accountability and friends that can really share deep stuff with you. The Lord says, this is your year of deep friendships. It might be one or two people, but I believe this is your year. The Lord is faithful. So let's pray for these people. Can I have someone laying hands on each person who's responded this? Everyone got someone to pray with you. Can we have another lady lead? Annika, all the lady leaders, just come and, even if it's two people, just come pray for people. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Just surrender to the Lord this evening. Just surrender. Father, thank you for each person, yeah, Lord. Thank you for precious lives, Lord, that are born for your purposes, Lord, that are born, Lord, not for things of this world, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for followers. Thank you for disciples, Lord. Thank you for those who need to die to their own desires, Lord, die to selfish stuff, Lord. Those who need to witness for you, Father, thank you that you give them boldness to witness, Lord. You just ask the Lord, whatever He's putting on your heart, just ask Him this evening for that boldness to follow Him, to grow, to die if you have to die. It's not easy, but you need to say, Jesus, I realize, I surrender. Lord, I want to witness to people. I've been invited. I cannot not respond to this invitation. So just do business with Jesus, and those people who need healing, we're going to pray and trust for healing there. Gerard, you guys can minister while we minister. Just do business with the Lord. If you have nothing to pray for, then pray for these people. Otherwise, you just talk to Jesus. have some ice cream and coffee afterwards. Let's just use these moments to just get to Jesus. I believe Jesus has spoken to a lot of people here. He's inspired you. So just respond and do business with Him.